1 Timothy chapter 2. And look, if you would, at verse 1. I'm just going to read this verse tonight, and then we'll go on from there. It says in 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Paul says to Timothy, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, we've been looking at the subject of prayer on Wednesday nights because prayer is something that the Bible commands believers to do. Paul says in the 17th verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, pray without ceasing. And not only that, but Samuel made it very clear when he said in 1 Samuel 12, 23, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And so that tells us a lot about prayer. It tells us how important prayer is. And prayer is a very important thing to the believer. Now, before I go any further, I have these sitting on the back table. I had some, and they're all gone, but I'll get more out there. But these right here are prayer diaries or prayer journals, okay? And years ago, I was when I first got into ministry, I was required actually to have one of these. And if you'll open it up, it shows that there's missionaries that you pray for. And it doesn't have to be just our missionaries. It could be any Bible-believing, you know, truth-preaching missionary. And then prayer request and whether or not they're saved or lost, and the date. And then, of course, you got a lot of pages there for prayer requests. And then when you get towards the very back, you'll have some paper pages that says answered prayer. Now, it's really important that when you see answered prayer that you write it down. And you will be amazed after about a year when you start to, you have all these prayer requests and then you look back and you see how God answered it. And when it says answered prayer, that's not just the answered prayer that went your way. That's when you got an answer whether it went your way or not. Amen. And so that's what you need to do. And I'm just telling you, it's going to be a blessing. Now, here's the other advantage to this. Is when you put these prayer requests down, if you're with me, sometimes when you're writing down prayer requests, you'll just grab the first piece of paper you see. Well, then that piece of paper gets thrown away. Where if you put it inside this, you'll be able to keep that before the Lord all the time. Amen? And so it's something, it's free, it's yours, take one. And if we need more, we'll order more. But I think it's very important that you do that. So hopefully everybody got one. Prayer is important. And prayer is something that we are to do. We've been commanded to do it. And so far, we've looked a little bit about prayer. We learned that prayer is our only method with communicating with God as far as us speaking to Him. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, that still small voice. And then I'll give you an example. This past week, this past Sunday, we had the potluck dinner. Well, I went in there to order the chicken, and when I ordered the chicken, it said $79 for 100 pieces of chicken. And I was like, okay, you know, not a big deal. And so the next that Sunday morning, I went over to pick it up, and she gave me, you know, the grilled chicken and the fried chicken. And by the way, I learned that grilled chicken is not the most popular thing around here. But anyway, because we had a lot of that left over. But when she handed me the chicken, it was one box of grilled and one box of fried. The one box of grilled chicken said like $39 or whatever, $36. Well, the other grilled should have said the same thing because both of them together, it's like $75 or $76. But the grilled chicken only said $6.99. So the total was like $30 for 100 pieces of chicken. I'm thinking, wow, what a deal, you know. Well, you know, I went to go check out, and I'm telling you what, it's like that still small voice was just screaming at me. You cannot leave this place. And so I went back, and I told him, you undercharged me. And she goes, undercharged you? I said, yes, you undercharged me. And she was so happy. And she asked me what church I went to. You see, folks, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit gives you conviction. The Holy Spirit gives you guidance. And so that's how God speaks to us, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. We speak to Him through prayer. That's how we, and it's, would you agree that it's pretty important to stay in contact with your Creator? I mean, the one who can do anything, the one who can just speak the world into existence, we have an opportunity to talk to Him anytime we want to hear from Him anytime that we want to, and He wants to talk to us, and He wants us to talk to Him, and that's the reason prayer is so important. But so, the problem is today is so many Christians take prayer for granted. They pray over their meals, and that's it, and sometimes when they pray over their meals, it's just something to say real quick so they can start eating. They're not really even thinking about the words that they're saying. And that, certainly we learned that that's something we're not supposed to do. Repetitive prayer is something that the Bible says we're not supposed to do. And so prayer is important, and we all need to pray more. This church needs to pray more. Christians need to pray more. Because that's, honestly, if you ask me why Christians today are without power, not able to do a whole lot, it's because of lack of prayer. I really believe that. So we need to pray more. Now, we've looked at a lot of things about prayer, and we started off by looking at the place of prayer, and we saw that prayer is to have a place of preeminence in our lives. In other words, it should have prayer should be a priority. When we first wake up in the morning, we should pray. We should pray before we go to bed. We should pray during the day. Paul says we're to pray without ceasing. And so it is to be a priority in our lives. That's the place it should have in our lives. We also saw the privilege of prayer and just what a privilege it is to be able to pray to God and the fact that it's only by the grace of God that we're even allowed to come before the throne of God. If Jesus Christ had not have died on that cross, then that veil would not have been rent, and therefore we cannot have access to God in prayer. But now we could pray to Him anytime we want to, and that's a privilege, folks. That is a privilege to be able to talk to our Creator. If you think about this, that God does not answer the prayers of the unsaved outside of the prayer to be forgiven. Amen. Now, He may hear those prayers. I mean, you can read about that over in Acts chapter 10. But He's not going to answer those prayers. But He answers our prayers. He hears our prayers and answers our prayers. And that is a privilege to be able to say that. We also learned about the pattern of prayer. And that's found in the model prayer that the Lord taught to His disciples in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus told His disciples in that chapter, and I'll go ahead and read. Here's what He said. He said, "After this manner, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now, if you're one of those people in the world today that just recites that prayer word for word, you know, before you go to bed or if you get scared or if something's going wrong in your life, then you're not doing it right. This prayer is not given so you could just quote it, so you can just memorize it and say those words over and over and over to the Lord. This prayer was given so that we can learn how we are to pray and to whom we are to pray. That's the reason the Lord talked about it. He also included also generally what should be included in our prayers. That's all found in that passage there, because just before He says that, the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And He did. He said, "This is who you pray to. This is what you need to pray about. And this is how we are to pray." So that's what we learned when it came to the pattern of prayer. And then we also learned about some problems when it comes to prayer. In other words, things that could hinder our prayers from being answered. And a lot of times we think that the Lord is going just to answer our prayers regardless of how we're living. Even if we are doing wrong, if we're living in sin, we just think that the Lord's just going to be there like we treat Him like He's a bellboy, that He's there only to answer our request and "Lord, I'll talk to You when I need You" type of thing. Well, that's not the way it is. I mean, after all, He is the Master and we are the servants. And so one of the things we need to remember is we're to have reverence to Him and we are to make sure that we're right before Him so He will hear our prayers. And the Bible tells us there are some things that can hinder our prayers. Things like selfishness, idolatry, unforgiveness, unconfessed sin, problems in the home, lack of faith. Those sorts of things can hinder our prayers from being answered. What I'm saying is this, is if you're unwilling to forgive somebody for something they've done, and then you pray that the Lord will, you know, that the Lord will forgive you and restore that fellowship, well, He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to hear your prayer until you make it right with that person or forgive that person. If you're living in open sin, you haven't confessed your sins, and then you say, "Lord, help me out in this situation," He does not have to hear your prayer. He does not have to answer that prayer until you get right. Okay? And so that's the reason why it's so important for us to be right with God and stay right with God. How many of you like your prayers answered? I mean, don't you like it when you pray and you know that the Lord's hearing your prayer and he's doing something about it and he's taking care of it? I mean, that gives us peace. Well, then stay right with God. Because if you do that, then he'll hear your prayers. And then we studied about the mechanics of prayer, talking about what position we are to be in when we pray. And what we learned after looking at many scriptures is that really the Lord doesn't put an emphasis on the position that you're in when you're praying. You know, a lot of people today say, well, you've got to be on your knees in prayer. Well, you can be. I know this. There are some people, if you got down on your knees, they never would get back up again. Amen? I'm quickly coming up being one of those people. But you know, the Bible says that Scripture shows people praying while they're standing, people praying while they're laying down, people praying on their knees, and people praying face down on the floor, okay? And so we learned that it really, the Lord is not so interested in the position that you're praying as he is the fact that he wants you to pray, okay? And then we also, in that same lesson, we learned that the biblical example in the Bible is for us to pray at a minimum of at least 3 times a day. That's a biblical example. Why? Well, that's what they did in the Old Testament because that's what Daniel did. That's what they did in the New Testament because that's what Peter and John did, morning, noon, and night. Okay? And so you say, well, if I pray morning, noon, and night, how about if I just pray over my meals? Sorry. When these people were praying 3 times a day, they weren't praying over their meals. So you can't cheat there. Okay? What I'm saying is this, that's a minimum. But remember this, Paul said, pray without ceasing. So we had to pray all the time. Okay? And so tonight, I want us to look at the parts of prayer. The parts of prayer. Now, again, I teach this, but again, I want to emphasize the fact that when you pray, you read how the Bible tells you that you're supposed to pray, and the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, and he taught them how to pray, and then you read about the parts of prayer like we're going to look at tonight. At the bottom line is this. After all the smoke clears, it's still a conversation between you and God, okay? And what I can tell you is this. Don't get caught up and say, okay, I've got to say this and I've got to say that. No, you just need to talk to the Lord. As a child talks to its parent, that's how you need to talk to him. He is your heavenly Father. And so I don't want to get you to the point to where you lose the personal aspect of it. Honestly, your prayer, I'm just giving you examples of what the Bible says, but your prayer is between you and the Lord. It's none of my business, okay? It's because it's a prayer between you and him. So I want you to understand that as we're looking at these different parts of prayer that the Bible talks about tonight. Now, if you'll notice in our opening text, Paul says, I exhort therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. He's talking about prayers. And those are parts of prayer. Okay? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. So the first part that he talks about here is supplication. Supplications. And you say, well, what in the world is supplications? It's one of those big Bible words. But really, all it really means is urgent requests. Urgent request. This is when it's urgent request. Maybe you're trying to seek God's, discover what God's plan is for your life. That's an urgent request. And maybe if you're going for a job and you say, hey, I'd like to really get this job, that would be an urgent request. In the Bible, we're given an example of supplication and prayer in Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus was praying just before they came to crucify him. Turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And I'm going to show you an example of supplication. Supplication. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and look if you would at verse 36. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, and this was his urgent request. It says, he said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then after that, the Bible says he comes to the disciples and saw that they were sleeping. And then he went away a second time and prayed down verse 42, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. His urgent request, the supplication he made was when he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. That was the supplication. And you know, there are a lot of Christians today that only time that they pray is when it's an urgent request. Okay? But it ought not be that way. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you from making supplications and making urgent requests, because hey, life is tough and you know we need God's help all the time. But you know, it shouldn't be where you only pray when there's just a sense of urgency. You should pray when things are going great. You know, when the sun comes up in the morning and you see the sunrise, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, thank you for that great sunrise. There's nothing wrong with just saying, Lord, I just want to say I loved you. You know, things like that. In other words, you don't have to pray every time just because it's an urgent request. But that is a part of prayer. Okay, supplication is a part of prayer. Certainly we know that because Jesus, when he prayed in a supplications when he said that. And so, and not only that, but he prayed three times according to that passage. And I want to throw this out too, that when you do pray, whether you're making supplications or you're talking about intercessions or any of those things, even giving thanks, I want to encourage you to pray specific. That's one of the things that I learned a long time ago, that, you know, if you pray just general, Lord, help me out today. Well, that's a pretty general prayer. I mean, does that mean help me out when I get out of bed? Does it help me out when, you know, help me get the car started? Does that mean help me out, you know, doing the work or whatever? Be specific. You know, when you go out to say, if you're going to go out to witness to somebody, be specific in that prayer. Lord, put somebody in front of me today that I can witness to. And show, Lord, give me conviction when he walks up. Lord, you know, help me to witness. Lord, let me win somebody to the Lord today. You see how much more specific that is? That's what you need to do. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You'll be amazed. Because then, hey, listen, when you say, Lord, help me out today, the Lord could help you out 100 times and you may never notice it. Amen? Because the Lord's doing things behind the scenes all the time. He answered that prayer, but you didn't see it. But if you say, Lord, you know, help me go win somebody to the Lord today. And then all of a sudden, you go win somebody to the Lord today. Now, that's a specific answer for a specific prayer. You know, just like when I was talking with Pastor Roach when he was there, we were reminiscing about many things. And one of the things I remember is at one time when he needed a pair of pants because we were out at family camp, and he ripped his pants. And at the time, I mean, he used to be a whole lot bigger than he is now. I'm far bigger than he is now. It kind of hurts my feelings. But anyway, you know, but then he was a pretty large man, and he wore some pretty big pants. And so we're out in the middle of Lincoln, Montana, on the 4th of July when everything shut down. And so he goes, I prayed about it. I'm going to go to town, and I'm going to buy a pair of pants. I said, there ain't nothing open. He goes, I prayed about it. Got to be some pants there. So we drive all the way into Lincoln from where the campsite is, and we're driving up the road, and every single place is shut down because it's the 4th of July. And so we're driving up down the road, and I was like, see, told you, there ain't nobody selling pants. And about that time, here come a truck with a topper on it, pulled over on the side of the road. Guy starts setting up tables. You know what he does? He starts taking pants and laying them on these tables. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he looks at me and smiles. He pulls in there and goes, hey, do you have pants this size? He goes, I happen to have 2 pair. And he looked at me and goes, see, I prayed about it. I shut my mouth. Amen. What I'm saying is this, you know how easy that was for God? I mean, you think how easy that is. Pray specific. And when you get that answer specific, you're going to know that's the Lord who answered that prayer. Amen. And so I just kind of wanted to throw that in there. All right. So we have supplications, and then it talks about prayers. Now it says supplications, comma, prayers, comma. It's talking about general prayers. Just general prayers. You know, just talking to the Lord. Telling him how you feel. Telling him that you love him. Those sorts of things. And then he starts talking about intercessions. Now, intercessions are basically prayers for other people. In other words, when you give intercessions, you're interceding on behalf of somebody else in prayer. And the Bible says we're commanded to pray for others. And now, again, this is not a suggestion. It's a command to pray for all men. If we don't pray for all men, if we don't pray for each other, then that's a sin. If you do not pray for other people, you're sinning. You say, how do you know that? 1 Samuel 12:23. Samuel said, moreover, as for me, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. That's what Samuel said. And you say, well, exactly who should I pray for then? Well, if you need somebody to pray for, I'm your guy. You could pray for me. You could pray for each other. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, you know what we do? We pray for somebody when they get sick. We pray for somebody when there's a possibility of them getting sick. We pray for somebody after they've already had a hardship. We pray for somebody after their car gets stolen. Had to throw that in there, brother. Okay? You know? We pray for people once things go bad in their life. Hey, pray for them before they go bad. Hey, when you go at night when you're getting ready to pray, or during the day when you're praying, you know, mention me, mention Billy, mention Barbara Bergstrand, mention the Wilsons, and you say, well, what do I pray about? Just pray that the Lord will bless them. Pray the Lord will keep them safe. Pray that they'll start, you know, that all of us will grow in grace. Pray that our church becomes stronger. Pray for each other all the time. I'll tell you this, and if you name each person specifically, you're going to find out you're going to learn a whole lot more about people. You're going to know their names. You're going to know what they're going through. When you pray about something, and they say, hey, I need you to pray about this, and then all of a sudden you just keep on bringing that before the Lord, and then you say, well, how did that work? Was that working out for you? Is it doing better now? Yes, it is. And you go over here and you write down in the answered prayer part. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Now you know these people better. That's the way it's supposed to be. We are to pray for each other. We're to intercede for each other, okay? Now, you say, well, who else? Well, here's what it says in 1 Timothy 2:1. It says, Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that at first all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That means you know what that means? That means you're supposed to pray for everybody. Everybody. You say, well, how in the world can we pray for everybody? Well, we're to pray for everybody that you know and everybody that you don't know here in Great Falls. You know what that means? You say, well, how can I do that? I don't know them by name. Well, you don't have to know them by name. You can say, Lord, be with all the Christians in Great Falls. Lord, help them to experience revival. Bring revival to all the Christians in Great Falls. Help all the Christians in Great Falls to grow in grace and to be bold and to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, and Lord, be with the unsaved. Soften their hearts. Prepare their hearts to hear the gospel. You know who you just prayed for? You just prayed for all men in Great Falls. Amen? Hey, everybody's either lost or saved. And so what I'm saying is this. When he says to pray for all men, he says pray for all men. Hey, I pray for all the Christians in America. I pray for every single missionary that's preaching the true gospel. I pray for those folks. I pray for our missionaries, but they're not the only ones in the mission field that's preaching right. There's missionaries all over the place that's preaching right. And they need your prayers because this world is getting worse and worse and worse. And so we are to pray for everyone. That's people we know, people we don't know. That means your friends. That means your enemies. Supposed to pray for them. Supposed to pray for saved people. Supposed to pray for lost people. You say, how can I pray for people I don't know? Well, that's where you have to remember that there are a lot of unsaved people out there that need your prayers. There are a lot of saved people out there that need your prayers. People like those missionaries who are risking their lives every day in order to get the gospel of Christ out to a lost world. And we need to be out doing the same thing here, praying for these people. Praying for people that are going outdoor knocking. You know, I tell you this, if you say, well, I'm just not able to do those things, then pray for those people that are. pray, okay? Some of the people you may not know personally, they need your prayers. The people that you don't even think about. It says this, it also says this, it says, not only does it says be made for all men, but look at the next verse. It says, for kings and for all that are in authority. We're supposed to be praying for them, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. You're supposed to be praying for your leaders of this country. And it says that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. You know what I pray? I pray, Lord, help our leaders to be saved. Help them, and if they are saved, help them to start serving you, Lord. And Lord, help them, guide them so that we'll be able to keep the rights that we have so we can go door to door without being locked up. That's something we should be praying about all the time. We take our freedoms for granted and we think we're always going to have them. The only reason you have them is because of the grace of God. Amen. And I'll tell you this, you're going to stand before God one day and answer for what you did with the rights that you've been given. Now think about that. God allowed you to be in the greatest country on this earth with the most freedoms of any country on this earth, to where you can walk right across the street, knock on that door, and invite that person to church and hand them a tract. Try doing that in Sudan and see what happens. See, you've been given these things. And here's the kicker is, there are people in Sudan that are doing that and being locked up for it. How would you like to stand next to that person on Judgment Day when you didn't have enough guts to go across the street and tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Pray. And it says, praise for kings and for all them that are in authority. That means not just your president and your vice president and your congressman. You say, I don't like them congressmen. I don't either, but it never said like them. It said pray for them. Amen? Pray for them. And not only that, but then you also got your state officials. And then your local officials, right down to your mayor and your county commission. All those in authority. Okay? And so we are to pray for them. And it doesn't matter whether they're saved or not. It doesn't matter if we like them or not. We're still supposed to pray for them. Okay? I've noticed that a lot of Christians seem to pray a whole lot more for one party than they do another. Okay? It ain't supposed to be like that. Okay? So we're supposed to pray for all of them. Okay? All right. Now, so, and I know that's a hard thing for us to do, but we just need to get over it and pray for them. Okay? Now, I will say this, if we prayed for the people that Bible tells us to pray for all the time, wouldn't you agree you'd spend more time in prayer?
Yes, sir.
If you prayed for everybody that verse just told you to pray for, all men and for all and for kings and for all that are in authority, you'd be on your knees for a while. Amen. All right, here's something else it says. It says, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and then the giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. Now, if there's one area in a Christian that Christians fail in, it is the area that Christians are not as thankful as they ought to be. We are not as thankful as we ought to be. We need to thank God for everything that we have. We need to thank God for this country we live in. You know, a lot of times we spend more time finding fault with it than we do being thankful to God for it. I'm going to tell you, folks, I don't think this country is what it used to be. And I think we're heading obviously in a wrong direction.
Oh, yeah.
But you better thank God that you still have this country right now.
That's right.
Okay? We should be especially thankful because we have more than anybody else has in this world. I've seen poverty, true poverty. I remember when I was in the military one time, I was in a place that was just off the coast of Oman, right at the mouth of the Persian Gulf. And these people on this island we were on, it was called Masira Island. We called it Moon Island because it looked like the surface of the moon, okay? But these people there, they had absolutely nothing. And we had ply boards that we used to make little shelves when we were over there for Desert Storm. We made our little shelves where we put stuff on right beside of our cot. And we used like just regular ply board. When we got done, we had to get rid of it because you couldn't put the ply board back on the plane to get out of there. So we all took it to one area. And when we put it there, all the people from that, the inhabitants of that island, they came over there and they grabbed those things and they made little huts that they were laying their children underneath of. That was their makeshift housing to keep them out of the sun. That's what they had. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that's poor. That's poor. You know, we need to be thankful that we're not living in that type of situation. We need to be thankful that we have a car to drive. Do you realize if you have a car to drive, that puts you in a higher percentage of the most rich people in the world? If you have your own car, you say, well, it don't run very good. If it moves, you're rich. Amen. Even if it knocks. Amen. And so we need to be thankful to God for that, okay? And we should give him praise and thanks every time we pray, because only he's worthy of praise. Only he's worthy of giving thanks for. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's what we're to do all the time. And it's so important to give God thanks in everything we do, even including those difficult times we go through. You say, well, wait a second. I got this morning, my car wouldn't start. Thank you, Lord. You say, how in the world could you do that? Because if your car had started, you don't know what would happen to you down that road.
That's right.
I don't care what happens, if it's good or bad, and you're right with God. Number one, remember, God's still on the throne. You need to be thankful for that.
Yes, sir.
God loves you. You need to be thankful for that. And if God allows you to go through something that's tough, you need to be thankful for that.
Right.
Now, Paul understood that. That's the reason when he was sitting there in prison, in a Roman prison singing praises to the Lord, he understood that. I don't think we quite got it yet, because I'm just going to tell you, I'm probably not going to be the guy that if all of a sudden I'm driving down the road and somebody runs and smacks into my truck, or let's say if somebody steals my truck, I keep on going back to that. If somebody steals my truck tonight, I'm probably not going, the first thing I'm going to think about doing is probably not going to be saying, well, thank you, Lord, for allowing that to happen.
True.
But I should. God's got a reason for it. And I know that he knows more than I know. And I know he loves me. I know he wants to take care of me. And I know that he sees tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And maybe he's got something better for me down the road.
Right.
You see? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying be thankful. Be thankful when the devil decides to sift you. Do you realize you got somebody praying for you all the time? The Lord is.
Yes, sir.
All the time. You know, the Lord told Peter, he said, Peter, the devil is wanting to sift you, and I've prayed for you. We need to be thankful for these things.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, I think that seems impossible. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The bottom line is this: it's God's will for you to be thankful, and if you're not thankful, then you are out of the will of God.
That's right.
According to that verse. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5 says, and not only so, but we give glory in tribulations, Paul says. He gives God the glory every time he goes through something. We give glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What he's basically saying here, he's saying we give glory in tribulations because tribulation brings patience. So whenever you go through something, you say, Lord, thank you for allowing me to go through that, because I know it's building my patience. That's what it's there for. Hey, listen, your faith can't go stronger unless it's tested. It can. If everything's going right all the time, then the first time something went wrong, we'd just fall on the floor. But you know what? Whenever we go through something, and God allows us to go through something, and we see God getting us through it, then the next time something bad happens, we're just naturally going to think, well, God's going to get me through this. That's called faith.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? When God allows you to go through something, we forget that maybe there's somebody down the road that's going to go through the exact same thing, and God's going to use you to help that person. We forget that God's building your faith, so the next time something happens, you'll be able to handle it better because you saw God work this time. That's why we are to be thankful and give glory during tribulations.
Amen.
God's got a plan. Again, boy, when we get to heaven and we see and we look back and God says, now see, I allowed you to go through that because of this. And we're like, oh man, I wish you'd let me go through more of it. But we don't see it that way on this side of eternity. Okay, and that's why we're always to give thanks. That's the reason we're to give thanks in the good days, we're to give thanks in the bad days. When the sun's shining, when it's raining, we've got to give thanks all the time. We're to pray for everybody, We're to give thanks for everybody. We're to pray for all saints, according to Ephesians 6:18. And when it comes to supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks, the best way to incorporate each one of these in your prayers is honestly, you could try this, and that is put it in the same order the Bible puts it into. In other words, every prayer in the Bible, you know, you can start off by praying for somebody, praying, you know, urgent prayer requests first. And then after that, you get your general prayers. And after that, you intercede for other people in prayer. And then you sit there and you give thanks God for the rest of the way. You can do it that way. You don't have to do it that way, but that's the order the Bible has it. Now, again, think about this. If you prayed for everybody like you're supposed to, you get your urgent prayers out of the way. We all have urgent prayers. We, you know, if there's somebody who's sick in our church or somebody needs prayer, that's urgent prayers. And then we pray general prayers. And then we intercede for others. And we pray for all men. We pray for kings and all leaders, and regardless of, you know, top to bottom. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for all the missionaries overseas. Pray for each one of us. And then you count your many blessings. How long are you going to be praying? You would be praying without ceasing. Amen. That's what Paul said. Honestly, if we prayed for everything that Bible says we're supposed to pray for, you would not have a problem with praying without ceasing. You would not have a problem with spending an hour in prayer. I'm just going to go on a limb and say, I don't think anybody in here has probably spent a whole hour straight in prayer. It's harder than you think. I tried. I never made it. Okay? I'm just going to tell you, it's hard. But we got a lot to pray for. And I'm just going to tell you, as you're praying, God has given you more grace right during that time, so you've even got more to be thankful for. I mean, think about this. If you actually got down on your knees and was able to get back up, thank God for that. Amen. And so that's what I'm saying, folks. When that Bible says pray and it tells you the parts of prayer that you should have in your prayers, if you did all that, you'd have no problems at all praying all the time. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to pray without ceasing. We need to do that more. We need to intercede more. We need to supplications more. We need to have general prayers more. We need to intercede on behalf of others more. And we need to be more thankful as a church. There is a reason why we pray on Wednesday night, but listen, don't just pray on Wednesday night when you come here. Let's pray all the time. And I'm going to tell you something. You pray all the time, God's going to hear those prayers. Okay? Pray. All right, let's stop there tonight.